This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast with Dougie Anderson and Terry Alderton and Jacob Hawley and Perry Groves. It's Arsenal v Hibs. Terry, you never won a Glory Hunters.
Never won a Glory Hunters.
How many have you played?
About 20. No, probably about seven. This will be my seventh, something like that, maybe. Yeah.
Never won. Maybe you should just give it up.
No, I don't think I will, but we'll see. We'll see. But Dougie's going to be brilliant.
Dougie, you've won a couple, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. Good to see the famous ties between Southend and Hibs, yes, you know, manifested here today. And the traditional ties.
You should be called the Mark Oxley team.
Jacob and Perry. Jacob, nice to be sat next to an Arsenal legend.
Nice to be sat next to an Arsenal legend. I think I won last time I was here, so I've got 100% record. I don't want to get stained, so yeah, well, feeling good.
What you're saying is, if we get beat, it's my fault.
I never said that, Perry.
Okay, well, that's fine. Did you see that? The subliminal messages were coming across there. That's outrageous.
I think that's what he said, Perry. So good luck in the actual,
in
game.
The real world.
Okay, here we go. Yes. Here's Glory Hunters. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker, and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that's a right royal rumble of football fandom. Our guests are given the opportunity to represent the team they've always supported in a dueling contest of wit and wisdom. But who will be quick on the draw, and who will be firing blanks? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Yes, this week sees Hibernian take on Arsenal. Dougie Anderson is representing Hibs alongside team captain Terry Alderton. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Charlie.
Thank you very much. And on the team sheet for Arsenal is Jacob Hawley, who's with team captain Perry Groves. Hello.
Buenos dias.
Oh, buenos dias.
Buenos dias, Charlie.
I didn't realise it's Spanish. We are Spanish
bien.
There, yeah.
Muy bien, muy bien.
Oh, very nice, Perry.
Did you ever, cerveza, por favor.
Did you ever play in Spain, Perry?
I played away in Spain, but yeah, that's a different story.
Oh, well.
You've got Anderson, Alderton, Terry and Perry. You've got a show, haven't you?
Beautiful, isn't it? It sounds like one of those Dave Deakey, Dozy, Mick and Titch. You can be Dozy, Terry.
I'll be Dozy.
Okay, yes, now, this is the first show we've had on Glory Hunters where both team captains have played the game professionally. Terry, are we saying you played professionally?
Yeah, I've got a contract signed with Southend United. I've got one. Never had a first team game there. Oh, only ever made the bench.
Did you ever play against Perry?
I didn't, but I watched Perry destroy Southend once against Colchester. It was Southend United versus Perry Groves. And I still remember him coming down.
He should be my agent.
Honestly, cool. I remember standing in the North Bank because that was our home end at
League
that time.
Division.
Division four.
And of course, Bobby Moore brought his old mate in, old Frank Senior, yep, who was really on his last legs. And I think Perry, with a hat trick,
yeah,
and a 4-2 win to Colchester, I think he finished after that game.
To be fair, Frank Lampard Senior was 62. Yeah. But in the old days, all the top star players used to like just fall down the leagues, didn't they? Because yep, they wanted to keep earning money. And it's the only time ever on a pitch, because I had pace, I was quick, right? So I kept running past him. And then in the second half, you know, when the fullback sort of faces you up, and he was about 5 yards away from me, and he looked at me, it was like a black and white movie, and he looked and he thought, I didn't catch him. So he turned round and started running away from me. So it was like Keystone Cop. So I was running with the ball, running after Frank Lampard and Coutinho, and I'm running after him, and he got to the edge of the 18-yard box, and he just turned around like a pirate, as if to say, right, you can take me on now. Yeah. It was just, I didn't know what to, I had no idea what to do. You know, when someone's running away, you think, I've not seen that
before. I just remember that big shock of red air running down the wing. Yeah. And then shortly after that, you went to Arsenal. But didn't, we were talking just before the show, it's a bit naughty, but were you saying what happened? Something happened off the pitch in that game?
I was up in the players' bar, and I had the hat-trick, like, they give you a ball then, that everybody's signing, which is great. And then Frank Lampard and Bobby Moore came out of the director's sort of lounge.
Yeah.
And Frank Lampard, senior, had his, like, a handful of, like, bottles of champagne or whatever. So I just, he said, well played, son, like that. I went, right, what's that, Frank? He went, it's a man of the match, wasn't I? And I just thinking, I've just destroyed you, and the sponsor would give him man the match
because they wanted to meet him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Oh, good play.
Well, what's the moment? Yeah, but you can both answer this in different ways. What's the moment in your professional career, A, Perry? What was the moment when you realised, actually, I can do this. I'm going to get a move here. I'm going to move up the leagues. I'm good enough. And Terry, what was the moment you realised, I haven't got this?
I think the final straw came against Colchester Schoolboys, and they were the days you play at the ground. You didn't play in a park, you actually played at Roots Hall, so the kids would play at Roots Hall. And I remember Spinner was there, Spencer Pryor was playing.
Yeah, centre half, yeah.
And he was in front of me, and this kid's run up the wing, and he's got through, and he's hit one, bottom corner, and I've made a great save. I've got to say, locked onto the ball, lovely crisp into my hands. And they were the days of steps rule. You know, you can only take six.
Two. Three, four. Ref, six steps, ref!
So they were the six steps for all. And I stood up with the ball in my hands, and through the excitement of everyone going, oh, well, good save, keeper, you know what I mean? I did a moonwalk, and I got blown up. Not literally exploded with TNT. The referee blew up, indirect free kick. They scored. We lost 1-0, and that was the end of it. I got a letter, so that was really... And I was rubbish. I'd like to say I had an injury. But I was rubbish.
You weren't rubbish. You just weren't good enough, Terry.
Yeah, but you still got...
But you, Perry. Well, it's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
You weren't rubbish. You weren't good enough.
That's true.
It's always tough, isn't it? It's tough.
It's tough at the top. I think it was Cyril. I'd been in the first team at Colchester when I was 16, playing centre midfield, like giving it and getting it, but I was a bit too flaky. And then Cyril Lee, because I was quick, he put me out on the right wing. And then there was just a couple of games. I tell you, one was at Torquay at Playmore away. Yeah,
point already.
Because it was better away from home because you got more away from home, you got more space. And then he just sort of done. Tony Adcock was another ginger lad player scoring bundles of goals and people watching him play really. And I just started to play well. And it's a bit of zeitgeist thing, you know, right place, right time. So it was one of them. Yeah. So then as a winger, I started scoring a few goals. And that's when people go, oh, right, he's actually scoring goals. When it's in the Greening was the old football paper, the Pinken, and that. So you used to get a few write-ups in that, and that was about it. Yeah, it was all right. So,
you say left wing there, but I remember that goal, that hat-trick you scored. I remember you coming down the right
wing. Yeah, I was right winger, exactly. Yeah, sorry,
steaming down. I can see it now. I honestly can see it now.
I love you, Tel.
There we are. Now, Arsenal legend, Perry. That's where you eventually end up. Jacob, huge Arsenal fan. How does it feel playing Glory Hunters next to someone who actually played for Arsenal?
That's it. I haven't asked for an autograph just yet. I'm going to wait until the microphone to turn off, see if I can sell that down at the next match day. That's great.
Jake, let's be honest, you was on Wikipedia all last night going, I had no idea who that was and got that.
Did you ever see... No, you're too young.
Miles too young.
I think you left Arsenal in 92.
Yes.
So that was when I was born.
Well, wicked, Jake.
That was when you were born. Now, of course, Dougie.
Yeah.
This is an Anglo-Scottish team for Hibs today.
Yeah.
You and Terry. A bit like Liverpool in the 80s.
Absolutely.
Huge.
Well, pretty much like any English team in the 80s.
Yeah.
Sort of crammed full of Scots and English. I think Hibs Arsenal is the classic and even battle people have wanted for quite some time, isn't it?
Well, there we are. The scene is set for Hibs v Arsenal. To seal kick off, we start with a clip of Louis van Gaal discussing hair pulling in the game and suggesting when and where it should be limited to.
Nowadays, you cannot control it by yourself as a referee. It's so difficult. When you see what Hood is doing with Fellaini, yeah, that's a penalty. Shall I grab you with your hair? And what is your reaction? When I grab you, your hair is much shorter than Fellaini, but when I do that, what are you doing then?
He can't react like that though, can he? With an elbow in another player.
I think that's a normal reaction. Every human being who is crept with the hair, only with sex masochism. Then it is allowed.
Wow. Keep it light. bit much, Louis. Perry, you got what happened?
100%. There's certain things that are a no-no in football. Obviously, spitting is like completely disgusting with players. You should be able to punch someone. Pulling hair is another one. I got sent off. I only got sent off twice in my career, and one was a hair-pulling incident against Hartlepool at home, Leigh Road. I wanted to leave our coach at the time anyway, so I weren't in a good headspace. I remember running through, and I think it was Barry Siddle in goal. And I was through on goal, and their right back, I had a brilliant ginger mullet at the time, shaved at the side, you know, David Crichton had the back, and he's yanked me back by the hair, by the mullet.
By the mullet.
By the mullet. He's yanked me by the mullet. I'm like, you can't, and I'd lost it completely, and the goalkeeper threw it out to the right back, and I just thought, you're having it. So I just chased him down, and it was like a Cantona. Launched myself two-footed, kung fu, one at the neck, one at the thigh. And there was a wall that went round Colchester United at the time, this little white wall, and he just went straight over, like a WWE, like thing, straight over, and landed amongst all the supporters. And I just thought, I'll get my coat. So I just didn't even wait, so I just walked off. Yeah, so 100%, and with Louis there with the hair. You don't touch people's barnets.
There we are. Right, OK, but here's the question. Can you tell me, in percentage terms, what was Louis van Gaal's win rate as manager of Man United? His win rate as manager of Man United. It's sealed bids, so while both teams confer, here's a short musical interlude. Right, there we are. OK, we've got the sealed bids in. Perry Groves and Jacob Hawley, you have said 52%.
Unbelievable. Incredible scenes.
Dougie and Terry, you have said 51%. It's nearest the pin, and the answer is 52%.
Oh, there we are.
You were miles off. One off. So that means Arsenal, you will kick off next as both teams try and convince me that they are the biggest here today as we do this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
We want each of our guests to tell us why they are the biggest club here today. They're free to employ any reasoning they wish. It's not about medals on the table. This is an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Arsenal, you've won the right to go first, and your 30 seconds starts now.
Well, I've got a couple of reasons. I mean, Perry, you sort of joked earlier that I had to Wikipedia who you might be. That's not true. I'm a big fan. I did have to Wikipedia who Hibs were, I'll be honest. and I will say this. One reason Arsenal are bigger than Hibs, and there might be a few reasons. When I typed in Hibs into Google, Google asked me if I'd spelt something else incorrectly. Yeah, the other reason I'll put forward is that, you know, we've got Perry and myself here today. On the other side against us, you haven't actually managed to find two Hibs fans that could do this. So you've had to hire Terry Alderton to impersonate a Hibs fan just so that you can make up a panel. So that's the reasons I'd put forward is why Arsenal might be bigger than Hibs.
OK, that's it from Arsenal. Thank you very much. Dougie Anderson, could you tell us why Hibs are the biggest club here today?
OK. On a previous show, we established the cultural, global and indeed cosmological significance of Hibs. But let's put that to the side, for any arguments are superfluous other than what I'm going to go ahead with. And worth saying, Hibs have won just as many European Cups or Champions League titles as Arsenal. So here it is. Hibs are bigger and better than Arsenal because not only are Arsenal inauthentic, they simply cannot be taken seriously because of their identity crisis. These Johnny-come-latelys were formed until 1886, and then not even with the name Arsenal, not even with the name Royal Arsenal or Woolwich Arsenal, they were called Dial Square, a name that conjures images of a rudimentary financial district downtown, which, like the Emirates or Highbury before it, can go very quiet at the weekend. I'll give Arsenal this, they are undoubtedly one of the biggest clubs from South London, but really, the North London derby should be played out between Spurs and Haringey. Do you know what Hibs were doing when Arsenal were formed in 1886? I'll tell you. Celebrating over a decade in existence, but something far more important took place the year after that makes this whole debate null and void. In 1887, Hibs became world champions. In a match billed by both the FA and the SFA as the Association Football Championship of the World decider, Hibs went up against the best team in England. This is absolutely true. Preston North End, and beat them 2-1 on August 13th, 1887. So you see, 25 years before the Titanic sank, Hibs were always going to be bigger than Arsenal. The job was done, and the world moved on to far bigger matters, such as the 10-year countdown to the publication of Bram Stoker's Dracula in 1897. So just to recap, Hibernian world champions, Arsenal, nay, Dials Square, nowhere near.
Beautiful, what a beautiful essay. A little round of applause. Jake, beautiful arguments. Come on, Perry.
I don't know if it's me, but Jake, I think your answer might have been a little bit short. I don't know, I'm not sure really.
No, Jacob's answer was very good.
It's 30 seconds we're supposed to be given to do that. That was Alex Ferguson's extra time. Well,
Jacob's answer was had some very good trolling in it. Top trolling of Terry's career. Also, top trolling of Hibs, not having many fans in that. But then Dougie did rely on history. He really played to the TalkSport heartland, using words such as superfluous and cosmological. Dial Square does sound like someone who's just bought the stadium rights to a lower league team, the Dial Square Stadium. And you can't argue with world champions, can you? That is
something that genuinely did happen.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give Hibernian 2 goals and Arsenal 1, just for the top trolling of Terry Alderton, which is always good in my book.
Spurs are like a democracy with Harry Redknapp as a dictator.
This is Glory Hunters, the podcast from TalkSport. Time now to incur the wrath of the sporting gods as we enter the round known as Sporting Heretics. I'm going to invite each member of the panel to suggest an idea they believe will change sport for the better. This idea may go against conventional thinking and cause outrage among the purists, but our panel refuse to be silenced by those who wish to preserve the status quo. Instead, they're quite prepared to break the necessary number of eggs to make a new sporting omelette. Terry, we're going to start with you.
Thank you, Charlie.
And it says here, goalkeepers get handsy.
Righto, here we go. So the idea is, obviously, you're a goal down, send the goalie up, send the keeper up, send him up, try and get his head on it. But I reckon the goalkeeper should be able to use his hands in both areas so he can go into the opponent's box and then punch one in.
Yeah, it's very
so
good.
So goalkeeper versus goalkeeper, kind of goalkeeper wars. So that's where I'm going with. Goalkeepers can use their hands in both ends.
Terry, I think it's a very, very good idea.
I think it's a great idea. It would be great fun, wouldn't it?
And if you don't mind me saying, Terry, showing the prowess and skill in that answer that not only got you the audition, but also the part in London's Burning.
Thank you very much.
We all remember that.
20 years ago.
Perry, were you ever with the goalkeeper where he went up and scored?
Yeah, it'd be like Aussie, bit like Aussie rules would come into it, a few little lineouts.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, and they'd go man for man, wouldn't they? The goalkeeper.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Would keeper then go on the other goalkeeper man for man.
It's a great idea, Terry. I'm going to give you 2 goals.
Thank you very much, Charlie Baker.
2 goals. Jacob, you want the fans on Zoom.
Yeah, well, look, we're obviously living in lockdown at the moment. We're in a situation where we don't know when the Premier League or any football is going to resume. They're talking about playing games behind closed doors, which I'm not a massive fan of. I'm a match-going fan myself. I enjoy being in the stadium. So I think if they are going to continue with football, but we can't be there, I think set up massive screens behind each goal and all the fans can watch via Zoom, shout over each other. And so it might just about feel like there's still fans in the ground.
Why just behind the goals? Why not around the sides as well? Or a TV screen in every single seat.
Every seat have a little iPad on a mannequin. There could be an iPad on a mannequin wearing the correct shirt and everything like that. It would look like the future.
It's going to cost a lot of money, this.
Yeah, they've got a lot of money, haven't they? The Premier League got a lot of money.
No, not at the moment, they haven't, apparently.
Oh, really?
No, apparently they haven't got any surplus.
Keep their clubs going.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
How technically would it work? Do we know?
Oh, don't ask me. I don't know how to do that. But someone will work it out. It'll be brain somewhere.
Do you think they'd try and get a chant going and someone else would be trying to get a different chant going?
It's the thing like with any Zoom conversation where everyone's trying not to talk over each other. We're all trying to do it at exactly the same time. But if we all count each other in, everyone could get a little chant going at the same time over Zoom. You could have the usual thing where people that you live with are sort of disturbing you while you're trying to do it. I think it would work.
Jacob, it was an excellent answer. I think it's a brilliant way for people to still watch football
get rid of behind closed doors football. I'm going to give you three goals, Jacob. Three goals. Perry, I'm going to come to you next for extreme squash.
Yeah, you've got to feel sorry for squash. They can't get themselves in the Olympics. Reason being is it's a bit, they see it's a bit too boring on telly, don't they? You can't really follow it. They've tried with the glass walls, haven't they? And if you think in the Olympics, skateboarding is in the Olympics, surfing's in the Olympics, BMX is in the Olympics. So my idea is just to make it a little bit more, I think people like to see a bit of violence. And it's in squash, there's too many lets. There's too many lets, because if you're trying to battle for the tee, aren't you, to get like the dominant place on the court. And if the ball hits you, normally it's a let. I think it should be the other way around. Now, I think if the ball hits you, the other person gets the point. So I think that you'd have like extreme squash where you just, even if you're in the corner, you can just turn around and just smack them and aim the ball at them.
Yep.
You get a point if it's below the waist. Between neck and waist is 2 points. Head is 3 points.
Oh, right, and in the eye.
Yeah, and I've actually played that myself. It's as racquetball, which is a version of squat with a bouncier ball, smaller rackets, playing doubles. And me and my three mates played a version of that. And it is absolute, it's like murder ball. It is, you get ball marks all over you. Yeah. I think it'd be exciting. I want a bit of violence in squash, just smacking it at you.
Now, Perry, I think this is a brilliant idea. I've been playing squash myself for the last 18 months, trying to think of ways to make it more popular, get people back in the squash clubs. Because at the moment, you go in there and it's like the Marie Celeste. It's like they're empty. It's like they haven't been open since 1988.
And everybody's got a knee band on, haven't they? Everybody's got a knee band.
Everyone has done that. So it's a great game. This is a brilliant idea. Extreme squash, I like it. Three goals, Perry. Dougie, you've got a Commonwealth revolution.
Well, I think the Commonwealth Games does need a complete overhaul, not just to be better, but to survive. And so I propose this. It will only ever be staged in the UK, not in any other Commonwealth country ever. Because not only will this be a pick-me-up for the nation every 4 years, it will banish the increasing apathy surrounding the Games from the rest of the world. Because let's be honest, for honesty is the best policy. No one abroad cares or can afford to host them. Canada and Australia, they've got bigger fish to fry, for instance. And let's not forget what happened in Delhi in 2010. Footbridges outside of stadiums collapsing and the water in the swimming pools inducing stomach bugs in competitors. That's right, I've moved on to footbridges and bugs. Make this a festival of sport every 4 years in Great Britain. Goodness knows we could all do with it. Moreover, we'd do it brilliantly as well.
There we are. I mean, the Commonwealth Games, it feels outdated, doesn't it? It feels outmoded.
Yeah.
So you think just call it the UK Games?
Commonwealth Games, it's outdated. Maybe it needs banished. It certainly needs a change.
It's squashing it.
Isn't the plate of major sports, like for the people who aren't quite good enough to be Olympic champion or world champion, and they think, oh, you know what, I'll always nick a Commonwealth gold. And it's for like the one who ends up fourth or fifth normally.
But you can have your Olympic world champions, obviously, in the Commonwealth Games. You know, you remember so big Linford Christie. Big Liz McColgan.
Daley Thompson must have won a Commonwealth gold when he was about 8 or 9. What?
I like the answer. I'd have preferred the answer if you just said we should get rid of the Commonwealth Games.
I do think, though, because we need something as a pick-me-up for years to come in Britain. And we do, I mean, God, if the Olympics showed us anything, we can put on a great show here, sports-wise. So just to reiterate, my main point is, let's get rid of the Commonwealth Games.
Everyone gave 8 out of 10, and you can't ask for any more than that.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Jim White. As a teenager, I took an active role in drama and ballet.
You're listening to Glory Hunters, the podcast from Talk Sport. Time now for Back in the Day, where we travel back to a landmark moment in both teams' history. Terry and Dougie, we're going to go back to 1991 and this.
Lucky we're playing it against the right. This could settle it for him. It's Keith Wright.
Keith Wright's goal gave Hibs a 2-0 victory against Dunfermline in the Scottish League Cup final. But what else do you remember of that year? Here we go, 1991.
Oh, an annus mirabilis.
Question one. Can you tell me which Scottish football legend retired from the game that year? Was it A?
Hansen is up there. This is McDermott and he's onside. And Hansen scores.
Alan Hansen. Or was it B?
And there's nutted in at the far post by Joe Jordan.
Joe Jordan, or perhaps...
Another good ball forward, and Brazil's in a position he's not offside. Brazil scores!
Alan Brazil.
Right.
Which Scottish football legend retired from the game that year?
Right, Terry.
Yes.
Joe Jordan was still playing in the 80s at AC Milan and whatnot, but I think by the 91, I think he'd stopped by then. Alan Brazil, no way was he still playing in 91, surely. For the love of the children of the future.
No.
Hansen, well, yeah, I mean, he was lifting trophies for Liverpool, certainly 89, 90. So, yeah, it makes sense to me. 1991.
I'll let you do that all on your own. I'm not even going to join in.
Not even going to do that?
My knowledge on that is nowhere near as good as Dougie, but it feels correct.
It feels right. It's about sometimes, well, we're going for a nice guitar solo here, aren't we? It's all about the feel.
It's all about the film. It's definitely, you're right, it's definitely not Alan Brazil.
Well, you're going for Alan Hansen? Let's find out.
Hansen is up there. This is McDermott and he's onside. And Hansen scores.
It was Alan Hansen. Let's go for question two. Who became the most expensive player in British football in 1991? Was it A?
Sheringham, Clough calling for the early cross. Sheringham goes for goal!
Oh! Teddy Sheringham, Millwall to Forest, or B?
And Steven!
Trevor Stephen, Everton to Marseille, or perhaps C?
And chipped in, and volleyed in, and it's there by David Platt!
David Platt, Villa to Bari.
Just on the subject of Trevor Stephen, fair to say, one of the greatest English players who doesn't seem to get his due. What a player he was, Trevor Stephen. Not really talked about too much, but my God, he was a player.
Who do you think, Terry? Teddy Sheringham, Trevor Stephen or David Platt?
Well, I don't think Ted was the big deal at that point.
Okay.
I don't think when he went to Forest, it was a big deal. The next move on was the big deal for Ted, wasn't it?
You're thinking 96. Well, because he
scored the very first televised goal on Sky. In the Premier League. So I think when the Premier League really got going, that's when the money started really flying. And I think that's when Ted then made that next move on.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's Teddy Sheringham. Stevens, I'm not too...
To Marseille.
That's going to be one that you would think...
But you're talking Marseille, big football town.
Yeah, true.
Because we remember Marseille did win the European Cup in 93, so they're not far off.
Yeah, true.
Who is still living off Italia 90 excitement? Well, it's Platty, isn't it?
It's got to be Platty. I was going to say, Dave Platt is the one that I would think it would be.
Let us both go with Platt.
You're going with David Platt, Villette to Barry. Let's find out.
And chipped in. And volleyed in. And it's there by David Platt.
David Platt went for £6.5 million. Marseille spent £5 million on Trevor Stephen. And Sheringham joined Forest for £2 million. Question three. What was the highest grossing movie of 1991? Was it A? Terminator 2 or B? Everything I do it for you. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, or was it?
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Silence of the Lambs. A tough question.
It's a tough question, but it's a great question.
It's a great question because you're kind of going, when you hear
could
them...
Could be
you,
any of them,
you
couldn't
go, it? It's definitely Terminator, and then you hear the others go, oh, but I still think it's Terminator. I've got a feeling that smashed records. I remember seeing that. I went to a premiere of that.
Terminator 2.
I went to see it, and I remember sitting there and just going, this is unbelievable. I'd never seen anything like it in my life, like the special effects and everything, just thinking, this is flipping believable. I'm just thinking, what are the ratings on those films?
That's what I was thinking.
What are they? What?
The whole family are going to get into Robin Hood, aren't they?
That's what I'm thinking.
On the back of Adams. Silence of the Lambs, 18 certificate.
Exactly.
Although Oscar worthy. Terminator 2, riding on the back.
Could be a 15, 18.
You Could Be Mine, the Guns N' Roses soundtrack, or the song soundtrack, could be found in one of the Use Your Illusion albums.
This is Dougie's specialist subject.
All right, look, I'm saying... With you, Dougie.
We go with gut. We go with gut.
Should we go Robin Hood then? I've got a feeling Terminator did break a lot of box office things.
In America, it was huge, wasn't it? And that's a big territory. We're going Terminator 2.
We're going Terminator 2.
Terminator 2, let's find out. Yes, it was Terminator 2. So at the end of that round, you scored a maximum of 3, which takes you to 11 points over Arsenal's 10. Perry and Jacob, we're going to go back to 1994... and this.
Acrobatics, but it comes for Smith. It's a goal for Arsenal. Alan Smith, a super strike for the Gunners.
Yes, Alan Smith scored the only goal of the game to give Arsenal a 1-0 victory over Parma in the final of the Cup Winners' Cup. But what else do you remember of 1994? Jacob, make us all feel sick. How old were you in 1994?
I would have been 3.
3, thank you so much. Question 1. Who finished that season as the Premier League's highest goal scorer? Was it A?
Now, can Cole conjure up something here? Cole still going, still Andy Cole. He's done it again.
Andy Cole at Newcastle, or B?
And Shearer's free, and Alan Shearer scores.
Alan Shearer at Blackburn, or was it C?
And it goes in. From Sutton, he's done it again. Chris Sutton.
Chris Sutton at Norwich. Who finished the season as the Premier League's highest goal scorer in 1994? Cole, Shearer or Sutton?
I think we can write off Chris Sutton. I mean, because I can't remember ever winning the Golden Boot and I can't remember him scoring bundles at like 25 for Norwich because they were like a middle to bottom tier side, weren't they? So we can rule him out.
I didn't watch many Norwich games that season, I'll be honest with
you. You haven't got the DVD?
Oh, you missed out. You missed out.
The canaries are flying.
Where are they? I had other things on at that point in my life. So I'll take
you. He was on your trike, couldn't you?
Yeah. When was Shearer's big move? This would have been just after his big move to Blackburn when they had all the money.
Well, Shearer and Sutton played together at Blackburn, didn't they?
Yeah.
So if they're saying it's Sutton at Norwich.
So this is...
So Shearer's normally your go-to answer.
I'm leaning towards Shearer. What are you
too
think?
Too obvious.
Well, that's the only reason I say it wouldn't be. I'm leaning towards. What do you think?
I think I'd go for the obvious one. I'd go for Alan Shearer.
Alan Shearer?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. B.
Can you go for B? Alan Shearer at Blackburn. Let's find out.
Now, can Cole conjure up something here? Cole still going. Still Andy Cole.
Andy Cole finished the season on 34 goals in that Newcastle side, wasn't he? That just all out attack.
Andy Cole scores goals, right? He was the worst boot boy ever. Oh. He was my boot boy at Arsenal when I was there, when he was breaking through. And I was useless at coach as a boot boy. He was even worse than me. Oh, and you actually have to sing at Christmas, as Christmas Carol, whatever, to get your money. And then I remember him come up to me, or he got dumped with a bucket of dirty water, whatever. I took great pleasure in getting that dirty water. And he still come up and asked for 30 quid. Honestly, yeah, I said, not my boots, like they've been like taken out a museum from 1954. That mud all over, caked over him. He was a rubbish boot boy, but a fantastic finisher.
Maybe there's a correlation there. Bad boot boys make good goal scorers.
Yeah, that's a good I reckon.
Bit tenuous for me, to be fair, but Coley, I'll give you Coley.
Is that not even allowed to do that anymore?
Alan Shearer scored 31 goals and Chris Sutton was level with Matt Letizia on 25.
Wow, he did get 25.
Pretty good. Good boy. Whose boot boy were you?
I was boot boy for Roy McDonough, for Red Card Roy, who's got sent off more times than anybody else in English football. And he's the only footballer I knew who actually put optics up in the home team dressing room. So yeah, he was fantastic.
OK, so let's go to question two. 1994 was also the year of this.
Roberto Baggio, the saviour of Italy throughout this tournament. He's missed it! And Brazil!
Roberto Baggio's miss meant Brazil beat Italy 3-2 on penalties to win that year's World Cup. But can you tell me, what is Roberto Baggio's nickname? Is it A, Il Pasticcino, the cupcake? Is it B, Il Divine Codino, the divine ponytail? Or is it C, Il Piccolo Pimpi, the little prince?
I really hope it's Piccolo Pimpi.
It's got to be Piccolo Pimpi.
Do you think it is?
Yeah, I think
Did you ever
yeah.
play against him?
No. We was banned from Europe for about 5 years. And he's a lot younger than me.
Is
he? Yeah. I don't think they'd have had the ponytail reference from before. Because there must have been a time, I'm just guessing, that he didn't have a ponytail.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? So maybe the Piccolo Pimpi, I think, is got to be it. Is the Divine Prince, is that what it translates to?
The Little Prince.
Little Prince.
I just love the idea of other players calling for the ball by shouting, Piccolo Pimpi! Over here, Piccolo Pimpi!
We're going C.
C, Piccolo Pimpi, let's
going
do it.
For C, Piccolo Pimpi. The answer is Il Divine Codino, the Divine Ponytail. I'm amazed you didn't get that right.
Well, I knew he had a ponytail.
Absolutely amazed you didn't get that right.
He must have had two nicknames. He couldn't have always been called that because he didn't have a ponytail all the time, did he?
Yeah, OK, question three. Which of the following films wasn't released in 1994? Was it A?
In the words of David Cassidy, in fact, while he was still with the Partridge family, I think I love you.
That was Four Weddings and a Funeral. Was it B?
Then put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb.
Groundhog Day or C?
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Sorry about that. What you having?
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers! The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
That was Pulp Fiction. Which of those films was not released in 1994? Four Weddings and a Funeral, Groundhog Day or Pulp Fiction?
It's pure dartboard stuff, this, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I've got no idea.
I've got a feeling Pulp Fiction was earlier than that. I've got a funny feeling Pulp Fiction was earlier. Now, that is obviously not from memory, but I've got a feeling that's the one we're going. Yeah? Do you want to go with that? Yeah? All right. Pulp Fiction, please, Charlie.
You're going to go with Pulp Fiction? Let's find out.
Then put your little hand in mine.
Groundhog Day was not released in 1994, which means you scored no goals on that round, which makes it 11-10 to Hibs. They've come back.
In 1971, I launched a fashion boutique called Edwardia.
Here on Glory Hunters, we like to ask the big questions, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to face an inquisitive general public as we play A Question of Sport Time. Due to current restrictions, of course, we've not got a studio audience, so we rely on the power of technology. Can we have our first question, please?
Hello. I'd like to ask the panel if they could nominate a film, book or TV show to enjoy whilst self-isolating.
So, we were being asked then if you could nominate a film, book or TV show to enjoy whilst self-isolating. Jacob Hawley.
Rather than a sort of specific TV show, book or anything like that, I've really been missing going and watching the football every weekend. I've got a close friend of mine that we always walk up together. So what we do, and I can't tell if this is really sad or a really nice thing to do, we started doing this at the same time as the matches used to be, which is sadly Thursdays and Sundays for Arsenal at the moment. we sync it at the time, so it's either 7:45 on a Thursday or 4 on a Sunday. We both find an old Arsenal game, and you can find them on YouTube or other platforms like that. and you both sit at the same time. We FaceTime each other. We get a lager in a little plastic cup.
Yeah,
we hit play at exactly the same time. We pretend that we sat watching the football together. And the best ones you can do, you can find old games where it doesn't say the score in the title. So you don't actually know who's going to win. So you sit there, watch an old game, you get into it as if it's actually playing live, and you know, you get upset when you concede, you celebrate when you score. And
you,
it
should,
feels
you should this week get one with Perry's in. Get Perry's number, add him to your Zoom call. Sit there and watch it with Perry.
Yeah, fair Perry.
Actually, to be fair, I could actually boo myself. So that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be happy days, wouldn't it? I could join in with everybody.
I mean, you'd have to
get him off his rubbish.
You'd have
to wait.
It'd be awkward, wouldn't it, when he starts playing badly? We're like, oh, no, sorry,
mate. You'd have to wait till the last 12 minutes for him to come on. But other than that, it's
See, he gives with one hand and takes away with the other. Thing is, if I'd have got injured and snapped my career, I could have played till I was about 58. It's like just the career of minutes would be brilliant.
Getting him some minutes.
Yeah.
What a lovely thing to do. Who's the friend?
It's a mate of mine, Joe Withers. But we sort of did it the first time. My girlfriend walked in on me doing it. And she said, what are you doing? I explained to her. She goes, I can't tell if that's the sweetest thing or the most sad, embarrassing thing you've ever
done.
Thing.
I think that's a good thing. And for that, I'm going to give you three goals, Jacob. Dougie,
yeah,
you're a music and film maniac.
Yes. I'll give you one of each quickly. Right. On Netflix, you've got The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale. Great boxing movie about Mickey Ward and his half-brother, Dickie Eklund. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't seen
true
it.
Story.
It's
brilliant.
A true story. What a film. What a great film.
Book-wise, I'll be honest, I've been drawn to Italy. And swayed by a book that's got a travelogue aspect to it, A Season with Verona by Tim Parks. And it's all about the author who followed Hellas Verona around home and away for the 2000-2001 season. So it's kind of football and escapism rolled into one. It's a terrific book. You can get it on Amazon very cheaply. And lastly, TV show-wise, I'd like to go to YouTube because you can't find this TV show anywhere else. See one of the greatest sports dramas ever made and a depiction of true events, the Bodyline 1984 miniseries about the 1932-33 Ashes series and the controversial Bodyline bowling therein. By the England team, who were captained by my namesake Douglas Jardine. Played in this series by Hugo Weaving years before he went on to play Agent Smith in The Matrix. There you go, there's three really
things,
good quality
three
things.
Excellent choices. A point for each, Dougie. See, a point for each.
Everybody loves a sport where you can actually aim the ball and hit somebody.
Yeah,
that's exactly the thing, isn't it? See?
Yeah. Perry Groves.
I'm going to keep it on the films, sporting films, because they're few and far between. There's a brilliant 30 for 30 series as well, like the ESPN documentaries. There's a brilliant I Hate Christian Laettner, which is the most hated basketball player in college basketball, which is really good. This Sporting Life, which is obviously like a social documentary, Richard Harris's first ever like lead role, I think it was. But I'll take you back to 1975. If there was a film that was about a sport that included speedway, rollerblading, football, basketball, athletics, boxing and WWE all mixed into one sport, what would you say? You'd be like that. I'll have some of that.
Yeah, well, fancy that.
I'll give you Rollerball.
Rollerball.
Rollerball. Yes. Right, 1975.
Yeah.
Set in the future, 2018. Yep. But when it was set, you think, well, it's going to be mad if you get 2018. So, right, set in 2018, and there's no countries anymore. It's all, everything is run by corporations. And the main actor is James Caan, who plays Jonathan E.
Yeah.
And he's the captain of the Houston Rollerball team. And you do what you're told. Like if they tell you when to retire, and he's like, no, I'm bigger than Rollerball. So basically the game is you've got a motorbike, you've got three roller skaters behind him, you've got a metal ball that comes from the centre, and you're going round the track, and you have to put it in the other team's like cubbyhole, either end. So they want to actually retire him, and he's like, no, I'm not doing it. So in the end, they think the only way we can get rid of him is we have to kill him. So then the leader of all the corporations say that you're allowed to, in the game, you actually had to kill people to stop them actually getting the ball into your cubbyhole. So he just thinks, no, I'm not having any of that whatsoever. But the ending is, it's like Rocky, but without Adrian and Butkus. It's like that. It's at the end. It is
Rollerball.
Like a triumph. Over adversity.
You had me until the very end there. I was praying you were going to say it. The end is a bit, it's like Rocky meets Darling Buds of Me.
What a lovely mashup.
But I'll give you Rollerball. What a film that is.
Great, and I love the description of it, Perry. Excellent answer. Three goals.
Terry Alderton.
The film I'm going to go for, right, it's not a sporting film, actually. It's a real splitter of people in society. You've either watched this film. If you haven't watched the film, you haven't watched the film.
But if you've watched
this film, you've either got people that get the film or they don't get the film. Okay. And it's Withnail and I, right? And in life, I say there are Withnailers and there are non-Withnailers.
Right.
So you get those people who go, I don't understand that film, pretty much, like my...
Great
whole
film.
Career.
It's a great film.
It's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant film. So you're either going to love this film or hate this film. So that's my film recommendation.
Any film with an old beaten up Jag in it has got me. What a film
it's
that
a beautiful
is.
Film.
Exactly.
It's one of the greatest films of all time.
It is. It's a piece of poetry. It's a beautiful film. If you haven't seen it, then please give it a go. Book-wise, I'm reading because I watched the BT film with Jimmy Greavesy, which is beautiful. Mm. With Danny's on that, of course. Then I started reading Jimmy's book, and it's absolutely fantastic, beautiful read. It's a good bedtime read. It's lovely to watch. So Jimmy Greavesy is the book to read, and my box set is End of the World. It's brilliant.
It's a series on Channel 4.
It's a series on Channel 4.
It's fantastic,
and it is incredible.
Just watch it. It's good. It's another Withnail, isn't it?
Okay.
You're either going to like it or not like it.
Okay.
And also an online thing. I've got an online thing. This is brilliant.
You've done some work on this.
Whatever happened to Stevie Ocean? Please watch that. I mean, that is the original Alan Partridge.
Whatever happened to Stevie Ocean? I like all
that
these things.
That is the best.
All those things sound excellent, Terry. I'm going to give you three goals. Excellently answered, everybody. Well done. Let's have the next question, please.
Hello, panel. It's fair to say this year hasn't been a vintage one, but which year is your least favourite and why?
Dougie Anderson.
2002. Scotland weren't at the World Cup and thus began the exodus that continues to this day, not qualifying for a major championship. 22 years and counting is now since France 98. It felt horrible not being at the top table then, and of course still does now. Same year Champions League final, that was at Hampden, saw Zinedine Zidane score the wonder goal, which I missed. Because I had to go flat hunting in Kentish Town, London, having just moved south from Edinburgh, Scotland.
Oh dear.
And even worse, Hibs lost every game we played against Hearts in 2002. And even worse than all that, one couldn't even find solace in the hit parade that year, with the three best-selling singles coming from Will Young, Gareth Gates and Enrique Iglesias.
Oof.
It truly was the annus horribilis.
A terrible year for music, for Dougie Anderson and for flat owners in Kentish Channel. I'm going to give you two goals, Dougie. Make it 2002. Jacob Hawley.
It's quite a difficult question to answer, isn't it? I don't think I've ever had it.
One being so
young. You've had a charmed life, haven't you, Jacob?
Isn't that about a charmed life? But how many people can say they've had a whole year that's bad?
Well, some people.
It's a long time. You've been in jail. It's not like every day is bad.
That's only because you're at
3 square meals a day,
Jacob, isn't it?
Not that bad.
You're at 15 years old, mate.
My worst year, I went for 2008.
Oof.
From an Arsenal perspective, it was the year where we really should have won the league. It was... We had a decent team, like the sort of Van Persie and Adebayo up front, midfield of Fabregas, Hilaire, Brzezinski, Theo was there. It was the year when Eduardo broke his leg at Birmingham. We only finished 4 points off winning the league that season, but that was the last time we went, that was just about a good enough team where we could have won it. And that's when everyone started leaving. So that from an Arsenal perspective, it was bad. I got bad GCSE results, so that wasn't good. And actually, I got swine flu that year. But apart from that, I think 2008 probably the worst one.
2008, I'm going to give you two goals. Terry Alderton.
Hello. My worst year, Charlie Baker, is 2016 when it all started with Lemmy the singer. Lemmy the singer passed away, and then so did George Michael, did Carrie Fisher, so
everyone
did Leonard
died.
Cohen, so did Rick Parfitt, so did Arnold Palmer, so did Gene Wilder, so did Prince, so did Gary Shandling, and the list went on, and I hated that year because so many heroes. Bowie, it was a nightmare.
Oh. Gary Shandling, that was a real...
Shandling,
that was awful.
That year it was quite incredible. And of course, they were all of a similar... Well, weren't all of a similar age, but it was a nightmare.
It's a good answer, Terry. Can't argue with it. I'm going to give you three goals. Perry Groves.
My worst year was 1981.
Mm.
1980, I was flying. I was playing for Suffolk Schoolboys. I was ball boy at Wembley in the 1980 Cup final, Arsenal against West Ham. Obviously playing for the county side, going out with the school hottie called Anne Hills. But the main reason being I was associate schoolboy at Wolverhampton Wanderers in 1980.
Oh, lovely.
So in the local area, Terry would tell you, if you was an associate schoolboy with someone, that meant you was a bit of a player. So I used to go up every school holiday to Wolves, do the training, like Easter holidays, summer holidays, 5 weeks. Then you get to the end of your associate schoolboy forms and you're 16. Then they tell you whether they're going to keep you as an apprentice or not. And being a full-time apprentice is like the holy grail. It's everything that you want to do. So 1981, I can remember the day, Thursday the 7th of May in 1981. I'm waiting for a letter to drop through the letterbox from Wolverhampton Wanderers with the headed like envelope on their little wolf in the corner. Yeah. And that letter's going to determine the rest of my life, whether I'm going to be taken as an apprentice or not. It took me 2 hours to, you know, so I can remember a couple of hours waiting to open it, end up opening it. And the first line was, Dear Perry, due to financial constraints, we are sorry to inform you, we will not be offering you an apprenticeship with Wolverhampton Wanderers Football Club, right? It's the first time I'd ever had rejection with football, because you're best player, school team, best player. So it's like, on the Saturday, the 9th of May, that mob up the road are playing against Man City in the FA Cup final. Mm. Tommy Hutchinson scores for happy days. They Man City go 1-0 up. Then he scores an own goal, so it's 1-1. And I'm thinking, oh, God, this is getting this pain. This is, at least they haven't won. So then they have the replay on the Wednesday. Man City are 2-1 up. Garth Crooks equalised for that lot. And then Ricky Villa like stumbles through about eight people, like as if he's falling
goal.
Over.
What a goal that
gets into the box. He has another fall over. Toe pokes it past Joe Corrigan. So they go 3-2 up. And that mob up the road win like the FA Cup. Yeah. So those 3 days, I'm like, my life's finished at 16, completely finished. But there's always Anne. She's I've got Anne Hill. I've always got Anne Hill.
Always Anne.
Another letter comes through the letterbox.
Oh, no.
Open it. You're chucked.
Oh.
The brutal reality.
By letter, so, as, well.
By letter as well. Yeah. Man. So I thought, Anne, what are you doing to me?
Talk I about thought Anne was going to sign you on schoolboy form.
I'd have done that.
In the dying moments of the game, we move now into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. Losing side goes first. It's currently 24-23 to Hibs. So, Arsenal, you will be going first.
Oh, right, here we go.
Come on.
I'm going to list a series of prominent world figures and the football teams they support. All you've got to do is tell me which are true and which are false. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
I'm a meter.
Are we ready? Your time starts now. John Major, Chelsea.
True.
It is true. Emmanuel Macron, Arsenal.
True.
False.
No, it's false, sorry. It's sorry, false. It's false.
Boris Johnson, Preston North End.
False.
It is false. Theresa May, Wimbledon.
True.
It's true. Nicola Sturgeon, Air United.
True.
It is true. Angela Merkel, Tranmere Rovers.
False.
False.
It is false. Richard Nixon, New York Cosmos.
True.
True.
It's false. The Dalai Lama, Bradford City.
False. False.
It's true. Ronald Reagan, Aldershot.
False.
It is false. Kim Jong-un, Man United.
True.
It is true. Pope Francis, Yeovil.
False.
It's false. Barack Obama, West Ham.
False.
It's true. Boris Yeltsin, Portsmouth.
False.
It's false. Prince Charles, Burnley.
False.
It's true. Tony Blair, Newcastle United.
False.
It's true. Boutros Ghali, Dagenham and Redbridge.
False.
It's false. King Harold of Norway, Spurs.
True.
It is true. Prince William, Aston Villa.
True.
I'm a meter.
It is true. You got the last one right. So, at the end of that round, you scored 13. Very, very
not
good.
Bad.
Takes you to 36
goals. Bit of pressure, chaps.
Hibernian, Terry and Dougie, you will be trying to get to 37, which means you need 13. You need 13 to win. I'm going to list a series of terms and phrases linked to polo. All you have to do is tell me which are true and which are false.
Are you kidding?
That's a direct correlation, isn't it?
When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
Perry Groves.
Are we ready?
Well, we'll just crack on anyway.
Your time starts now. Chucker.
True.
True.
It is true. Big swing.
False.
It is false. Hired assassin.
False.
It's true. Clucking.
True.
It's false. Top ender.
True.
It's false. Millionaire shot.
True.
It's true. Burning spear.
False.
It's false. Mallet.
True.
True.
It's true. The Tom Tom Club.
False.
It is false. Tuppenny nudging.
True.
It's false. Neck shot.
True.
It's true. Queasy.
True.
It is true. Bosh.
True.
It's false. Quantocking.
False.
It is false. Third man.
True.
It is true. Scaramanga.
False.
It's false. Martingale.
False.
It is true. Girth.
True.
True.
It's true. Pummeling.
True.
False. Puffing.
True.
It's true. Big man up front.
False.
False.
It is false. Willow ball.
Perry Groves.
True.
Oh.
It is true. Have you done enough?
That could be
scores
it.
Are coming in. He's done 15.
I'm a
actually
so
won.
So at the end of the round, you scored 15 goals, which means the final scores are Arsenal 36, Hibs 39. Yeah. Terry Alderton has won a game of Glory Hunters.
I can't believe it.
Terry, how would you, what would you like
I'm
to tell
so
us?
I'm so pleased. I've only won two things, this and the winner of Sky Star Search. That's it. That's so it. Pleased to have
See,
won
thing
this.
Is, but that's a bit, it's your privilege upbringing for the polo. So you played, didn't you? Played for Trump Park.
That is true, Perry.
Played in their garden every day.
Exactly. Always
that, there we are. To our winners, we say...
In the words of David Cassidy, in fact, while he was still with the Partridge family, I think I love you.
And for the losers...
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
My thanks to Terry, Dougie, Perry and Jacob. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, is goodbye. There we are, all your fault, Perry.
Yeah, thanks.
On Jacob's rules.
You're just guessing. We weren't in synchronised, was we, on the
yeah,
guessing?
We weren't in synchronised on the guessing this time around.
There's a lot of work went on the hip side, though. A win, Terry!
A win!
You won.
I can't believe it. I'm so excited. I'm actually more excited than you realise.
Yeah. A win for the mighty Hibs.
It's good. On behalf of everyone on, in the Hibernian family, we say thank you, Terry.
Thank you. More than welcome.
There we are. That was it. Glory Hunters podcast. Thanks for downloading. Do rate and subscribe, and we'll see you again next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.